Gentlemen, joining us right now from the Oberlin Heritage Center is Amanda Manahan, here to talk about some event they have coming up. Good morning, Amanda. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Do you miss all the people? You know,
absolutely.
Right? You guys usually have a lot of people coming through or looking. You're closed right now, right? The Oberlin Heritage
Center. Yeah. Yeah, we closed. We were open over the summer and early fall. We closed right before Thanksgiving, but we're hoping, you know, maybe in February we can start, you know, opening back up or thinking about opening up again. So, yeah, we're eager to see people, of course, you know, doing so safely with, you know, modified tours. But, yeah, we really do miss all of our visitors, but also our volunteers.
Yeah, a lot of museums and organizations like that are kind of missing that whole thing, and it's a different rhythm and different project. Does it give you a chance to maybe clean up the place at some point? Organize your files, that type of a thing?
We're able to work on some back burner projects that are still very important, you know, developing new tours and programs, and, you know, I'm going to be able to still do some virtual programs with the schools this spring. So we're just readjusting, but we're still very much active, and we've been very fortunate that we've had our full staff on the entire time.
That's great. We are talking to Amanda Manahan from the Oberlin Heritage Center about a program you have coming up at the beginning of February, February 2nd. It's called Freedom's Friends. What's this all about?
Yeah, it's actually based off of our popular history walk that we offer in the summer months, but it's Freedom's Friends, the Underground Railroad and Abolitionists in Northern Ohio. And it's a program that kind of offers a brief overview of a snippet of what American slavery looked like. And we highlight the methods in which enslaved peoples resisted and they escaped from slavery, and how abolitionists, particularly those in Ohio, helped facilitate that, and how, you know, abolitionists, they wanted to end slavery, and, you know, they went about many means of doing it, from, you know, protesting and trying to get, you know, laws passed to end slavery, to people like John Brown, who, you know, acted, and even though there were violent acts against slavery, and then people, everyday people who sometimes helped on things like the Underground Railroad Network. So the program really kind of explores Northern Ohio particularly, and why this area was so important to that network, basically because there were more abolitionists in this area, particularly in Oberlin, and because we're located at Lake Erie, which has access to Canada, and Canada was really the ultimate destination, the ultimate safe haven.
Amanda, there was a lot on the line back then. Did the people who supported abolition really sort of have to go underground, no pun intended? In other words, they couldn't actually show what they were feeling or expressing at the time?
Definitely the most radical abolitionists, yes. I mean, there are many abolitionists that still didn't want to break the law. And Underground Railroad was definitely breaking the law. But so, yes, they had to be very clandestine. They had to be very secretive. The Underground Railroad, I mean, the name in itself means secret network. Because if they were discovered, they could be punished. Basically, there was a federal law called the Fugitive Slave Law of 1850, and this law dictated that enslaved peoples, even in free states, were the rightful property of Southern slave owners. And if a person helped that individual escape, they were ultimately charged with basically theft. And so they could be fined up to $1,000, which is over $30,000 in today's money. They could go to jail for up to 6 months. So, yes, it was a very serious punishment by just helping an individual try to realize freedom.
Because it was so secretive, and maybe, do you know where a lot of all this information comes from diaries, from word of mouth, oral history? How is it that this information is known if it was such a sort of clandestine kind of operation?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's difficult. It's really difficult to research the Underground Railroad because there are a lot of myths and misconceptions out there. Unfortunately, a lot of the history that we have comes decades after the fact because, again, people broke the law. Not a lot of them advertised it even after slavery was abolished after the Civil War. So there's a lot of oral histories, a lot of family recollections. There are some, you know, written records, but written records were very dangerous for the people who kept them. Oberlin College, for example, has a letter that was written to a couple of the professors, one of whom lives in one of the houses that we maintain as a museum. He wasn't living there at the time of the Underground Railroad, but basically this letter came up from Medina and went with these five enslaved individuals and basically said, you need to take care of these individuals and see that they make it to their next location, basically. So that's a rare piece of written evidence. It was very a lot of those documents had to have been destroyed just to keep people safe and to keep the network safe. Unfortunately, I mean, there's not a lot of physical evidence, not as much as we would like anyways. So we do know of a couple of houses in Oberlin and in Loring County that were involved in the Underground Railroad. But, you know, people change houses, update them quite regularly, so there's not a lot of that evidence behind.
What exactly will be going on during your sort of your Zoom presentation on February 2nd? What kind of things will you show and how will you kind of display what you're talking about today?
Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about the beginnings of American slavery, because I feel like you really, you know, we really feel like you need to understand that bit of American history and why there was a building resistance against it. We talk about people like Harriet Tubman, like Frederick Douglass, individuals who had escaped and then later helped on the Underground Railroad. We'll talk specifically about Oberlin and some of the famous incidences that happened, such as the Oberlin-Wilmington Rescue, which was a very famous slave rescue in 1858. So just, you know, a couple years before the American Civil War broke out. And we'll highlight some of the ways in which abolitionists in Oberlin affected not only the local area in terms of laws and the Underground Railroad, but how they also went further out, you know, to places like Kentucky that were slave states, and how they helped in those areas as well.
I know you should mention you're doing this as a part of the Lorain Public Library system. Did they come to you, or did you say, hey, we've got this that's needed to come up? Can you help us promote it? What's the story for that?
They have an excellent slate of programs coming up. They actually reached out to us a few months ago, and yeah, we love doing programs for libraries, albeit this will be one of our first virtual offerings for a library. So yeah, they reached out to us. It's a free program, unlimited attendance. So we're really looking forward to seeing how many people come out and, you know, the engagement. It'll be different, but we've had some success with virtual programs. And what's nice about the virtual programs is that we can get people further out, people who normally couldn't attend these programs.
It's a different way to outreach, right? Because you don't have to leave your home. If you're thinking, I don't have a time, or I could actually do it, but the time to travel to come back may prevent me from doing that, or I have to you know, find somebody to take care of the kids or something like that. So it opens up another opportunity for people to participate in organizations like yours too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is a free program, but they do require that people register for it in advance, and anyone can do so by visiting the Lorain Public Library System's website, going to events, clicking on it, and clicking register.
And again, it's coming up Tuesday, February 2nd, 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And opening is unlimited, which is always great to see as many people as you can possibly get to talk to about Freedom's Friends, the Underground Railroad, and abolitionists in Northern Ohio. Amanda, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks. It's Amanda Manahan joining us from the Oberlin Heritage Center this morning, talking about an event they've got coming up in association with the Lorain Public Library System.